Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome to the Full of Beans podcast, a weekly podcast hosted by myself, Hannah Hickenbotham. Full of Beans is here to share the unheard voices of those who are living with, supporting, researching, or working in the field of eating disorders. Each conversation aims to bring a different perspective and understanding so that together we can learn, advocate, and connect to realise we are not alone in our struggles and that recovery is possible. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. And just a gentle reminder that these episodes are not a replacement for therapeutic support. So if you are struggling, please do reach out and know that there will always be someone there to listen. And finally, thank you to our podcast sponsor, Nightingale Hospital, for your continued support. In this week's episode, I'm joined by Melanie Davies. Melanie is an advanced skills practitioner of clinical hypnotherapy, a trained blast trauma therapist and sleep and stress consultant. She specialises in helping people change unhelpful thinking patterns and maladaptive coping mechanisms and secure positive change. She supports clients with a range of issues including anxiety, disordered eating, sleep issues and managing thoughts, emotions and stress responses that often drive binging, restriction or compulsive behaviours. It was really interesting to talk to Melanie today. If I'm being completely honest, I always thought of hypnosis as something that was a bit woo-woo or done on stage as a magic trick. I really enjoyed hearing how hypnotherapy can help people that are struggling with disordered eating, and I think that'd be really interesting for people listening to understand the role of it too. I really hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome back to the Full of Beans podcast. Today I am joined by Melanie Davies and I'm so excited to have you on. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me to be with you this afternoon.
It's lovely. It's so nice to have somebody that's from Cambridge on the podcast. I'm actually really enjoying the fact that we are both from Cambridge today.
Yeah, well, it was great that we met, wasn't it, at that event and had the opportunity to share our areas of interest and realise that there's a way that we can support each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes. The reason that I'm here today is because I am a sleep and stress consultant and clinical hypnotherapist. And it was my work in clinical hypnotherapy that Hannah and I first started talking about, particularly in relation to some of the work that I've done with clients around eating disorders, specifically helping them support management of anxiety and changing their habits so that they can be healthier and happier. That's kind of key thing to what it is that I'm doing.
Amazing. Yeah. And I mean, it was so interesting when I chatted to you. And like you say, the fact that we realised we had sort of that common interest or that overlap, was really nice to speak to you. So I guess the first thing I want to do before we even talk about anything else is I think there are some misconceptions about hypnotherapy. And it'd be really nice from your perspective if you could share what you think those main misconceptions are and what the truth is actually behind them.
Yeah, okay. So I think one of the most common things is when people hear I'm a hypnotherapist, they think I'm going to make them dance like a chicken. So because people often associate hypnosis with those kind of, you know, silly comedy stage shows where people apparently seem to be dragged up on stage, lose control and get made to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. So let's unpick some of those myths. So first of all, what is hypnosis? Hypnosis is a natural state. It's not magic, even though the hypnotists on stage like to present it as magic and they like to make it look as if they're doing something remarkable to people and they have this great power. Hypnosis is, in fact, a completely natural state that we all drift in and out of many times during the day on our own. So let me give you an example of you may be really, really engrossed in a film or reading a book, and there's just a moment where you're just lost in that slightly altered, focused state of attention where you're really engrossed in one thing. Another very common thing is when people drive and they get to their destination and then they can't really remember going around that particular roundabout. Yeah, you're laughing. You've been there too.
Yeah.
But you have been awake. You've been alert. You've been in control all the time. But there's just been a kind of fade out of the peripheral areas of your attention because you've been so focused on that one thing. So that's you've been in your little hypnotic state. What happens in that state is that you're a little bit more open to suggestibility. So this is where we address one of those other myths, is that you're going to lose control and people are going to make you do things you don't want to do. So the research shows that you can't make somebody do anything that is not in alignment with their fundamental beliefs and values through hypnotizing them. So, you know, going back to the chicken dancers on the stage, there would have been a reason why, for whatever reason, those people thought that was fun to join in and have a laugh and do those things. And before those subjects go up onto stage in a hypnosis show, the hypnotist will have done a lot of little suggestibility tests on the audience as a whole before they picked those particular individuals that went up. So the reason that they're up there doing those things is because they were responding and going along with the suggestions, which indicates that they were comfortable with them. So when I work with an individual client in a therapeutic setting, we use hypnosis to get them into that part of their mind where they're open to suggestions, but we shape the suggestions to give them the change that they want and that they desire. And so before I work with anybody, we take a while to find out what is it that they want to change and what are their fundamental beliefs and values that are going to allow me to craft the suggestions that are going to be accepted. So I explain it sometimes like this. If you imagine that your mind is protected by some burly bouncers on the door, like a nightclub, and if the rules of the nightclub are that you can't go in with trainers, if I turn up on the door with trainers on, you're not coming in. So if I make a suggestion, say, for example, Hannah, we're having a hypnotherapy session, and I say, and every Wednesday, Hannah, you're going to turn up at my house and do the ironing, you're going to say, no, I'm not, because that's not what you want. That's not in line with your beliefs and values. And that wasn't the aim of your session. But if I'm working with someone who perhaps is really struggling with heightened anxiety, whether it's around social interactions, whether it's around managing their workload, or whether it's actually about, you know, how they feel about food in the house or food on their plate, rather than focusing on the negative thing and the anxiety, we focus on how they want to feel instead. They want to feel calm. They want to feel in control. They want to be able to manage their emotions. And we work out what that actually looks like and what that would feel like if it was real for them. And then we use those positive suggestions through that part of hypnosis. Does that answer your question?
Definitely. I guess as a follow-up question to that, are you basically saying in order for it to be successful, somebody needs to know what they want?
That's a really interesting question, because actually what often happens when I work with clients is that they know what they don't want. They don't really know what they want, because sometimes they're so tangled up in this difficult emotional place, they can't really see themselves on the outside of that, and they don't really know what that would look like, and they find it really hard to imagine what that would look like. So that's my job. That's my job, to help them strip back those negative things, because often what people say is, I don't want to feel anxious, or I don't want to keep binge eating, or I don't want to restrict my food. And I say, well, what would that be like then if you could achieve that? That's a really hard thing for them to think about. So we work together, and we find a way to create a comfortable space for that to begin to unfold, because hypnotherapy is very different from like a cognitive behavior therapy or a counseling session, where obviously you're working very much in those kind of methods with your rational mind. So for example, I can, you know, from my own personal experience, I had a childhood trauma. And I understood later in life, through having talk therapy, why that had made me anxious. So I understood rationally why I was anxious, but I couldn't actually stop feeling anxious. But hypnotherapy for me turned down those feelings of anxiety. So it kind of works from a different part of your mind, more on the emotional side. And sometimes it can be a good alternative for somebody that's kind of tried a lot of that rational therapy and it hasn't quite removed that difficult emotion. And sometimes it can work really well alongside that. So you've got the kind of understanding of why these things happen, but then you kind of have that shift for the emotional thing as well. So when we're working with a client in hypnosis, we're working with the unconscious mind, where all those emotions and the beliefs and your memories and all of those things that happen automatically are driving your behavior. So if you think about an unconscious response that you might have to something, have you ever watched a film and it's made you cry, even though you know it's...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Not real. Mm-hmm. You're laughing. I mean, it's happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I've done that. I do it all the time. Even, you know, Toy Story 3, it's not only an actor, it's a cartoon. It still made me cry. How could it be less, any less real? And yet it affected that emotional part of my mind, because for the moment that I was watching that, I was caught up, and then I had that unconscious response. And I speak to a lot of my clients about this, and I know this is a thing that a lot of people can identify with. Just for that moment, you're in that part of your mind that doesn't really know the difference between what is real and what is imagined. Mm. And that part of our mind has huge potential either for good or for bad. So that's the part of your mind when you're anxious, or when you're kind of overtaken by a very powerful urge or craving, or, you know, panic mode, that's the part of your mind that starts operating. And that makes you feel at that time that that's your reality. You know, and I've worked with clients who they talk about things like food noise, and when they're anxious, the only thing they can think of doing is having a binge, and then they have this huge guilt afterwards. And, you know, other clients who have different experiences as well. But in that moment, that's their reality, even though their rational mind might be saying, oh, but it's just a feeling, it's just a thought, you could do something else. In the moment, those emotions are taking over. So I'm not saying you're not consciously aware of it, but it's just which part of you is taking that dominant role. Now, what we do with hypnotherapy is we use that part of the mind, but to make it work on your behalf, to create new neural pathways instead of those negative ones that have been driving those old habits. So by using your imagination, and that's another thing that we have to do when we work out with a client, we find out whether that person's imagination is more creative, more visual. And some people are just very literal. But however it is, we find the way to make that work. We create a new neural pathway in the part of the mind that doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination, so that when they come out of the session and they are in the real situation, their brain goes, oh, yeah, I recognize this. Oh, yeah, this is the situation where I feel in control now. This is a situation where I'm actually quite calm. And this is the situation where I embrace this other behavior that was the thing that we decided they wanted to have instead. And, you know, bit by bit, that change can become more sustainable and more long lasting. So if we go back to your question about what if a person doesn't know exactly what it is, that might be something that we work on over a course of sessions, and we work out what that thing is going to be together, so we go on this journey. But most people know straight away that they want to let go of those really difficult feelings. And that would be where we started. So we would let go of those difficult feelings. And then there's a space for something else to grow that's more comfortable and more exciting and more positive.
Hmm. What I really like about what you said is it's all very, it's not just focusing on the behavior, it's focusing on the underlying emotion surrounding it. And I think that's a big thing that's missed in eating disorder treatment, is a lot of the treatment modalities we have are behavior specific. So like, I want to stop binging, or, you know, I want to stop using restriction or excessive exercise, but it's not getting to that underlying emotion. Whereas from the sound of things that you're saying, it's really exploring the emotion that somebody wants to move away from in order to kind of give them, like you said, peace or calm or clarity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why actually sometimes it can be such a relief, because you know, obviously I talk to my clients to find out, you know, what drives them and what it is they want to change, or whether it's moving towards something better or moving away from something difficult. But actually, once we get into the hypnosis, I'm doing the talking and they're mostly on the receiving end of that, which can be a huge relief for someone who's had to spend hours and hours of sessions talking about uncomfortable stuff. And, you know, I talked about neural pathways a little earlier on, and every time that you go over something difficult, you're actually reinforcing that neural pathway. Now, of course, sometimes you do really need to talk about things to understand them and make sense of them. But for some people, there can come a point where you literally just feel as if you're going round and round in circles and you're in a negative spiral. And so a hypnotherapy session can be a bit of a relief because you don't have to keep going over and over it. You don't even have to talk about the difficult thing that might have been the trauma that caused it all in the first place, but you can still move away from it emotionally.
So let's say I come to you and I say, I want to stop binge eating. What would then be the process to get me from that to then in a situation where I am going to binge, not engaging in that?
Okay, that's a really good question. Now, I wish I could give you a blanket answer, but you probably know as well as I do that everybody that has, an
issue, if it was that simple, you would be a millionaire.
Yeah, 101 different reasons. And that's the wonderful thing about, you know, working individually with a therapist or a hypnotherapist in this sense, that's what we're talking about now, who is tailoring their suggestions specifically for you. Because yes, you can go onto the internet and you can get a bespoke, you know, recording that says this is going to do this for you, this is going to stop you binge eating, da, da. And it might well work for some people, but it will be very generalized. But when I'm working one-to-one with a client, I will give them the suggestions that are tailored specifically to them. So let me just give you a really quick example. If one of the things that you wanted to do was to create a relaxed state for somebody, sometimes the idea of going down deeper and deeper into relaxation is really helpful for some people. So you might help somebody visualize standing at the top of a really grand staircase and going down each step. And as you go down each step, you just start to feel a bit more relaxed, because at the bottom of that stairway is the most relaxing place that you've ever been to. And then I might count them down the steps. That would be really lovely for some people, but some people are actually scared of steps. So that would be a really unhelpful thing to do. So in answer to your question, what is that going to look like? It's going to be different for everyone. But if I just give you a general overview about somebody who wanted to stop binging, it might be that the reason they're binging is because they're disconnected from listening to their own body. So, for example, from my experience, when I was little, I was a very skinny child. And my mum died very unexpectedly. And so I was brought up after that by my dad. And the kids at school were pretty unkind at the time. I was growing up in the 70s. And there was a big thing at the time about famine in Africa. About Biafran famine. So the kids at school used to call me Biafran because I was very skinny. And then they used to say, your dad can't look after you because he doesn't feed you properly because you're so skinny. And you're going to get put in a children's home because you're so skinny. So my response to that was desperately wanting to get fatter, to put weight on. So I would eat and eat and eat and eat. I didn't listen to when I was full up because I just kept eating. And alongside that, I was also brought up in that sort of post-war generation where you didn't leave food on your plate, you didn't waste food. So you had to eat it even if you were full, because otherwise you'd be wasteful or you'd be ungrateful. So I disconnected my ability to recognize when I was full up. And I would just stuff myself literally until my belly hurt or I had to undo my trousers. And later on in life, that really wasn't very helpful anymore when my metabolism changed. So I had to do quite a lot of, you know, work around, oh, now it's time to listen to your body and to listen to that full up signal. So for some people, if that was, you know, the truth for them, one of the things that I might do in hypnosis is start to get them to listen to their body. And some of that might be an imaginative conversation about all the amazing things that their body has done for them. So, you know, they might be somebody that enjoys dancing or enjoys sport. And then we might think about, wow, isn't your body amazing? How does it feel when your body's doing this for you? And they can start to reconnect in a positive way with what their body does and listen to their body again and feel more comfortable listening to their body. And so then that full up signal starts to become, you know, a welcome, friendly conversation. And so that then moves them forward in that way, so that they're just more in tune with what their body's telling them and they're not afraid to listen to their body anymore. And very often, very positive changes just unfold from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you started that by saying it has to be individualized, because I think that's another thing that currently within the eating sort of treatment space, there's maybe not there's the awareness, but there's not the actual implementation of that. I'm just wondering in terms of, so somebody goes through the process with you, is that then a permanent change? Like, you know, does it kind of happen overnight, suddenly they don't want to binge, or is that something that then requires further work down the line to kind of keep up those behaviors, or, you know, might require more time for somebody to move away from their eating habits?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You know, again, I wish there was just one clear answer, but it does vary on clients. You know, sometimes people can come to me, we might just do a series of four sessions. And after that four sessions, the thing that they wanted to address is sorted and they feel more confident in their ability to cope and they trot off and I don't see them again. Sometimes people will do a program with me and then they might just come back for a top up every so often, a little maintenance session. So I suppose in the way that you might go and have a massage because it makes you feel nicer, or if you've had some physiotherapy treatment, maybe for a focused period of time while you're addressing a particular injury, and then periodically you might go back every, you know, couple of months, every 6 months, you know, just to have that feel good, just checking everything's in place. I often refer to hypnotherapy as like a massage for your mind. And obviously you might make some changes and you might make some improvements, but then you're going out to live in life again. And sometimes life throws you a curveball and it might just make you feel a little bit off balance every so often. So you might want to go back and just have a top up. But what I find is that hypnotherapy is something that the individual learns to do for themselves. I don't do hypnosis on people. I facilitate them making the changes in their own mind. So the more somebody works with hypnosis, the better they get at making the changes that they want. So over a period of time, maybe something that took six sessions to address in the first place might respond really, really quickly to an individual top-up session further down the line. So the changes tend to be longer lasting and achieved more quickly the more you go through that process. So going back to your original question, you know, is somebody going to make changes to set them up for life? Well, in all honesty, I haven't had a client that I've followed through the rest of their life yet. Okay. But, you know, I can talk about people that I've seen a few years down the line, and they're much, much more adept at coping in a healthy, constructive, comfortable way. And occasionally they might just come back and just say, oh, I just want a little retune, a little reset. But some of them don't have more sessions, but they just tell me that they're doing okay, because I do follow up with clients. I like to send people a text message or an email. I do that, you know, religiously within the program of sessions, but I do follow people up periodically as well, because I think it's important that they know that they're cared for through this transitional process. And I know that's a bit different from how maybe a counselor might work, because very often you go in and you have your 50 or 60 minutes and then that's it and there's no contact between sessions. Personally, for me, when I was having counseling for anxiety, I found that process a bit challenging, if I'm honest. And I'm sure there are reasons therapeutically and ethically why counselors work in that way. But I can choose how I practice with my clients within the boundaries of, you know, ethical behavior. And I choose to support them through that process of change and to just give them a touch-based follow-up. If they choose not to reply to me, that's fine. That's their prerogative. But I also want them to know that, you know, that there's that touch point of concern for them to support them as they move away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the beauty of private practice, isn't it? Obviously, you said there's the ethical considerations, but being able to have a bit more flexibility and not having that red tape. One thing I wanted to ask was people learn to do their hypnosis themselves, so you're facilitating it. Is that something that they're actively aware of in terms of they develop those skills, or is that more like of a passive thing that people do because of the hypnosis they've had with you?
Well, we can do it both ways, actually. So so what happens on a passive level is I notice when people come to me, usually the first couple of sessions, it takes a little bit longer to kind of get them into that state. And let me just go back to what hypnosis is. You don't actually have to be deeply relaxed to be in hypnosis, but there's kind of like different levels of that relaxation. When I'm working therapeutically with people, I do tend to work in a deeply relaxed state of hypnosis, because first of all, that lowers people's cortisol. Now, when people are dealing with anxiety and difficult emotions, taking that cortisol out of the mix really, really helps, because it makes them physically feel better straight away. And then, you know, the mind follows, the mind clears. So what happens over a number of sessions is that people begin to feel more comfortable with being relaxed, because if you experience carrying fear and stress in your body for a really long time, which is often the case with people who are, you know, developing maladaptive behaviors around eating, it actually can feel a little bit strange when that anxiety is gone to begin with, because you're so used to it being there. It's like, it's gone. What's happened? You know, people are kind of tuned in to be on heightened alert. Over time, they become more comfortable at letting that anxious state go. And that's when the real change happens. But for some people, that can take a few sessions. But passively, following my guidance, they become more and more attuned to that, so they can then get into that state more rapidly. So that's the sort of passive way that they get better at it. But the active way that people can get better at it is that I can teach them how to calm and soothe their nervous system. So we do that with a number of different techniques. And sometimes it might be some breath work. Sometimes it might be, you know, really deliberate tense and release relaxation. And for some people, there are particular ideas or thoughts that help them get into a relaxed state. You might use some music sometimes, which kind of soothes you getting into those nice delta and theta brain waves. And for some people who are particularly challenged with anxiety, I might give them what we call an anchor. So that's a physical cue that they associate with being deeply relaxed. And it's often just, you know, we choose whatever it's going to be with that particular client. Sometimes one of my clients quite like putting one hand around a wrist like that, because it felt kind of nice and secure. I had another client, we do just a fingertip and a thumb. So we create an anchor, we take them into a deeply relaxed state, and we create an anchor, and then we teach them how to use that physical cue to get themselves back into that comfortable state. And that was really helpful for one of my clients who was going through some disordered eating patterns. And whenever she felt like she was out of control or overwhelmed, she would resort to a binge. So we didn't actually talk a lot about binging at all in her sessions. We talked about those feelings of being overwhelmed and how she would feel if she didn't feel like that. And then we gave her that lovely experience of feeling calm and balanced and steady, and we anchored it. Mm. And so when she was then in positions where she might otherwise have resorted to that binge behavior, she just used her anchor instead, so she could then avoid that maladaptive habit that she'd fallen into. And she was able to move forward with much, much better coping strategies.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds amazing. I think that it just goes back to my point before of, it's often not the actual behavior, but it's more the emotions that are driving that. And I really liked that you mentioned the anchoring, because that's also something I learned in my own recovery. And mine was immediately when my therapist said it, I just went back to my grandma and grandpa's house. And as I said it, I like lifted my chin slightly. And I don't know why I lifted my chin, but it just made like that thought made me lift my chin. So that's now what I do when I need to go to that place of calm. I just lift my chin. I guess it's almost like looking up at them. And I go to my grandma and grandpa's house because it was always, there was never stress. There was never any pressure. It was just a wonderful place to be. So that is absolutely a great technique. And so you shared a bit about your, you know, the clients that you have worked with in terms of helping with disordered eating. Is there any research out there to suggest the impact of hypnosis with disordered eating or eating disorders?
Yeah, there is. And the thing to be aware of with any research around hypnosis is it's still a growing field. Mm. There are mixed studies, and so that, you know, from a research kind of critique point of view, some of the studies are quite small, and they haven't been able to replicate them yet, but there is a body of evidence that suggests that it is a useful approach. There was some recent guidelines to psychologists around very focused studies around bulimia nervosa, and there was a strong clinical signal that indicated that hypnosis could reduce binge frequency and emotional reactivity. They are small trials, but they are there showing that, you know, there's a promising evidence base there, and that work was done by Baker and Nash in, I think it was 1987. So it was a while back now, but they're drawing it out. And there was some other research around helping people with food impulsivity. And that was published much, much more recently in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 2022. And that showed that hypnosis could reduce food impulsivity in patients who have high levels of, you know, binge behaviors and was struggling with obesity as a result of that. So there are a number of studies. And then, you know, just more generally in terms of understanding the hypnotherapeutic benefits on things that people often perceive as more physical problems, like IBS, for example, that mind-gut-brain connection. The NHS now recommends in the NICE guidelines that hypnotherapy is an effective approach to support management of IBS and, you know, that kind of mind-gut connection. So that there is a growing evidence base around that.
And is that because of how it calms your nervous system with the link to the IBS?
Yeah, and because, you know, we're more aware of the mind-gut connection now. So, yes, there is that. And then obviously anything else that's driven by... The trouble is, you know, when people have had something like IBS, they become anxious about having those symptoms. And then when you're anxious about having those symptoms, the anxiety and the stress response in the body often exacerbates those symptoms. So it's all kind of around that, you know, and there's a lot of research. I also work with people who have got fears and phobias around having medical procedures and or dealing with chronic pain and all of those things. And there's a growing body of evidence to show that hypnotherapy is helpful in those cases too. I mean, I know that's not what we're talking about today, but in terms of generally research around hypnotherapy, it's not just a bit of, you know, mind magic. It's a clinically supported approach for so many things. But, you know, coming back to what we're here to talk about today, to help around disordered eating patterns, it has been shown to help people lay new neural pathways which enable habit change. So whether it's a habit change around, you know, eating less of something or more of something else, and that, you know, I don't want to get too much into telling people what they've got to eat, but we can't get away from the fact that if people are restricting their food, there is going to be a very serious potential physical effects on that can, you know, harm people's hearts and bone density and, you know, all of those other things. And when you're in a space like that, it's actually really important that you might feel more able to be comfortable with eating certain things. You know, I've had clients who you know, perhaps they've had an episode where they choked on something And now they don't want to eat anything else because they're too frightened of swallowing. So we can work on that. So, you know, disordered eating happens for so many different reasons. And hypnotherapy offers a lot of different avenues in, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's an emotional thing.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a really interesting point that you make, because there's so much more awareness of ARFID now in terms of, you know, the fear of aversive consequences from eating or the kind of sensory issues that people have around food. So, and I think that the treatment modalities for that are so limited. So yeah, it sounds amazing that there's that growing body of evidence. And what you were saying about gut problems, I know after 14 years of anorexia, that is the reason why I have IBS day in, day out. And it, you know, I can really beat myself up about it sometimes, because I'm like, I've got this because my digestive system has been starved for 14 years, which, as you said, not only does that cause stress because I'm putting that pressure on myself, but also that anxiety every time you go out, it's, oh God, what's going to happen? So, you know, there's like a double whammy of support there in terms of the emotional aspects around restriction, but then also supporting with those IBS symptoms to relieve them. Sounds like, you know, a really interesting place for further research to be done to, you know, get more evidence behind it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is quite an exciting time to be working in the field of hypnotherapy. I've just come back actually from the UK Hypnosis Convention.
Oh, wow.
Which is an annual event every year. And you have, you know, the top players in the field coming in, presenting evidence-based around hypnotherapy and its multiple applications to help in so many different ways. And I think finally, the kind of establishment now is beginning to recognize it's not this crazy magic thing. You know, even now that we have more opportunity to do brain imagery and resonance, we can see that when people are in hypnosis, there's different activity going on in different parts of the brain. So we know that something, you know, really helpful is happening. And I've been really encouraged by the openness now from more traditional medical approaches. I mean, yes, of course, there's always still more work to do. There's more hearts and minds to win. But I actually go into local surgeries and work with some GPs and their medical staff and their support staff to help them manage stress. You know, they wouldn't let me in there if they thought it was witchcraft. So, you know, it's really exciting to be working hand in hand with, you know, medical professionals. And I think that's the really important thing about what hypnotherapy has to offer. It's not about taking you away from any other, you know, recognized approaches. It's about going alongside that to, you know, why would you only do one thing that could help you? Why wouldn't you do more than one thing to help you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm so glad that you said that, because that was going to be my question in terms of, you know, could this be a standalone treatment? But I think, as you said, it's something to go alongside your treatment and support it and just have an even more powerful impact than what it would on it, what would that treatment would on its own. So yeah, thank you for confirming that.
Yeah. No, amazing. I think it's important. Yeah. It's a complicated puzzle, isn't it, of lots of different things that affect and create these problems. And so I think a multifaceted approach to help people work through it and find the solutions that are right for them is important too.
Yeah, and we so often hear, you know, people say that different things work for different people. And so why not give people the option to try as many of those so that they can have positive outcomes? I think the more things we have access to, the better for people, because then they're getting better quicker. So, you know, overall, we're spending less money on treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so lovely to chat to you and for bringing it's really nice to speak to someone not like deep in the eating disorder world as well, because I think so often we can kind of get lost because we're so specific in our industry. So I really appreciate you bringing that broad approach. So thank you very much. Where can people go to find out more about you?
Well, my website is very easy because it's my name, MelanieDaviesMindSolutions.com. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn. So that's there for people to access. If anybody's curious about what they've heard me talk about and they want to know a little bit more, you can always ping me across an email. My email is on the website as well. And I also always offer people a free consultation chat if they're curious about, you know, how hypnotherapy might work for them. So you can book that on my website. There's a little button there. I just think it's really important that people are aware that there are more solutions out there than they knew. And I think for me, that's the biggest challenge. We started talking about, you know, those myths about hypnosis. And I think that sometimes those stage shows are at risk of trivializing what is actually a really beneficial approach, which is natural. You know, it doesn't have the risks of side effects that some drug treatments have for all sorts of various things. Might not always be appropriate for everyone. And that's another reason to have a free consultation. So, you know, to take that medical history. So, for example, if somebody's, you know, suffers from psychosis and they're in the middle of a psychotic disorder, a psychotic episode, it wouldn't be appropriate to be working in hypnosis at that stage. Although, you know, when they're stabilized, it might well be an appropriate avenue to take. So there's always all sorts of things that we need to chat through. And, you know, again, if somebody's got a physical condition that could be rooted in a medical cause, we want to just make sure that we're not going to mask any symptoms that would need to be properly investigated. So, you know, you need to have a sensible ethical approach to working with anybody. And that's another reason why always have that consultation before you decide to move forward. And then you're going to know that it's the right thing for you.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I will put all your details in the show notes. And thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you very much, Hannah. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode on the Full of Beans podcast. I really hope you did enjoy it. As a little reminder, this is not a replacement for therapeutic advice, so please do seek support if you are struggling and know that there will always be somebody there to listen. Many thanks once again to our podcast sponsor, Nightingale Hospital. Have a lovely week, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Full of Beans podcast.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.